Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your provision for us. Thank you that we're all able to be here today. Thank you that you did make the way so that we could come before you, so that we would be able to have a relationship with you. Forgiveness is such a part of that. I just pray that you open our hearts today. Help us to hear from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I don't think I'm telling anybody a secret when I say forgiveness is hard. In fact, it really seems unnatural to us because, for one thing, it violates our sense of justice, whether it's a wrong done to us, but it's especially hard when it's a wrong done to us, or even if it's just something that we see happen. We have a sense of justice that really is God-given, and so forgiveness doesn't come naturally to us. We automatically think, well, if you've done something wrong, especially if you've done it to me, you ought to pay for it. And you know what? It would make perfect sense if we were just the animals that some people think we are. After all, when you get hurt, your natural instinct is to defend yourself and to fix it so it doesn't happen again. And if that's all we were, then yeah, that would be the end of it. But that's not all we are. Because God has created us with something more and for something more. We're not simply animals. We are able to reason. We're able to respond to the prompting of His Holy Spirit and to allow Him to make us more than we would ordinarily be. But it doesn't mean it's easy for us. And the greater the wrong that's been done to us, the harder it is. And it's harder still when whoever it is that did the wrong is somebody that you can't get away from. It's a little easier to forgive somebody if you don't have to be around them every day.
Right.
If you got to be around them every day, it's a little bit more challenging because you're reminded of what they did. And it's even harder if they're a repeat offender. They don't ever stop doing whatever it is that they did. What are you supposed to do then? It's really tough. But the thing is, we need it. We need to be able to forgive.
Amen.
I was browsing through Twitter the other day and I saw this tweet by Bob Sorge. Most of y'all were here, you might remember, when he came and spoke at our church several years ago. He's the man who continues to preach though he lost his voice.
Right.
He said this a few days ago, to refuse to forgive is to drink poison and expect the other person to die. Because that's what it does to us. It keeps the wound open. It's like having a wound and keeping on picking the scab off of it. And it's never allowed then to heal. Not only that, not only does it not allow you to heal, it doesn't give the relationship an opportunity to heal. Because that's constantly in your mind. It's not going to get better because you keep opening it back up. And not only that, as that bitterness grows inside of us, it taints other relationships. We will then begin to overreact to the smallest things, whether from the person or from other people, because we're carrying that wound around. We're carrying that grievance. And everything starts to be seen through that lens of the grievance that we've suffered. And so we begin to put everything into that same category. And our words and actions then, or the words and actions of others, get interpreted that way. And unforgiveness even affects your health. Now, there is some dispute over how true that is. But studies are beginning to reveal that it probably is true. And it makes sense because God designed us a certain way.
Amen.
And whatever the circumstance, whatever the thing is that we're doing that goes against the way God meant for things to be, the more likely it is that something's going to not work right.
Right.
One thing for sure, it increases your stress level. It increases you because you're angry. You're in fight or flight mode all the time. So your heart rate's up, your blood pressure's up, your immune system responds negatively. The results of that can be depression, can even be heart disease and diabetes, and even possibly post-traumatic stress disorder, all resulting from a refusal to forgive. And we've already mentioned that how that bitterness will go and it will taint other relationships and make it hard to have good relationships all around. Because we'll respond to others out of our pain, out of our wounding. It'll come out the things that we do and say. Before long, we've offended everybody. Unforgiveness, really, is a choice, and it's a selfish and it's a self-centered choice. Not to say that the wound isn't real, but how we respond to it is within our control. When we choose to forgive, we pave the way for reconciliation. And it's grounded in love. God loved us, and so He forgave us. He provided a way. He did everything that was necessary to pay the debt and make it possible for us to have a relationship with Him. It's born out of that kind of love. Jesus exemplifies it. And not only that, Jesus requires it. There's so much said on the topic, but I'm going to focus on just these two verses from Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your trespasses, your transgressions. Wow. How does that fit with our understanding of salvation? How does that fit with our understanding of who God is and what He did for us? It seems like if you don't forgive, then you don't have a hope of being saved. So what's going on here? I'm not going to be able to completely shed on light on that, but I'm going to do my best. Let's start with local context. This is, of course, part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is speaking there, and we have in Matthew 5 through 7. And He's been speaking on doing what we do, if I can very high-level summarize it. He's been speaking on doing what we do for God and not for others. To glorify God and not to glorify ourselves. He's given instructions on prayer, and then we have what we call the Lord's Prayer.
Amen.
And the only thing He says then following that, of course, in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, we have that phrase, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Then He goes back and He says the statements that we just read, following that up, the only part of the quote-unquote Lord's Prayer that He emphasizes. Why? I think because it's about relationship. This passage is focused on our relationship to God. And it's the reason behind all that we do. And so He emphasizes the importance then of forgiveness. Why forgiveness? Because forgiveness is the message, really, of the entire Bible.
Amen.
In Genesis, we find out why we need it. We learn about the fall of Adam and the fruit, forbidden fruit, Genesis chapter 3, where he directly disobeyed the instructions of God and allowed sin to come into the world. We read then about the results in chapters 4 through 6, and really throughout the rest of the Old Testament. We can read about the results then of what happens when sin comes in the world. It got so bad that God destroyed everybody but one family. And that didn't fix it. We still went on and kept on messing up. And you read throughout the Old Testament the story of the repeated failings of Israel. They do good for a while, then they go back. Do good for a while, and go back. Sounds like some people we don't, don't it? Sounds a lot like us. Then it tells us how we get it. In the Old Testament, it describes the sacrifice that's made for sin, but then we learn that that sacrifice is not enough. It can never be enough. Our offerings, whatever they may be, whether it be blood sacrifice, whether it be our works, whatever we find to give, is never going to be enough to pay the debt. Jesus had to make the final offering. So Jesus offers us the forgiveness when we repent and give ourselves over to Him. Why is it so essential? Because it is the overriding fact of our relationship to God. If we cannot know forgiveness, then we cannot know Him, because forgiveness is His heart. We wronged Him and continue to wrong Him, and yet He forgives. We are the ones who are the debtors, and it's impossible for us to repay it. But He paid it for us. He has forgiven us out of the love that He has for us. And if we can't grasp this, then we're not able to offer it. If we can't understand the grace that we've been given, it's hard for us to then offer that grace to others. I believe that's why this is worded so strongly. Because forgiveness is the basis of our relationship. We don't understand how to love and forgive. We don't understand God. We don't understand what He did or who He is. We have the story over in Matthew 18 that we probably all know about the servant who owed his master a great debt and then was forgiven. But instead of then being forgiven in return, he goes and he finds somebody else that owes him money and throws him into prison. That story follows Jesus explaining the path that we should take when somebody has sinned against us and we want to reconcile. And it's all about, that's what that passage is all about over in Matthew 18. I might want to preach on that again sometime. But it's aimed at not punishing the person or getting to the place, okay, you've done all the procedures, now you can run them off. No, that's not what it's about. It's about bringing that person who has sinned into repentance and bringing them back into the family and having them be part of the family. And only if they absolutely refuse do you go to that last step. That's the background under which Peter comes to him and says, well, how often do I have to do this? So he obviously got the message that Jesus was saying there. This is about forgiveness and reconciliation. And Jesus says, well, 70 times 7. Continuously. And then he goes into this story about the slave. See, the slave didn't understand the nature of the gift. He did not understand the king's heart. And what he was given was taken away from him. How do we process that? I don't really want to get into that other than to say it might be reasonable to say that his heart was never changed. He never understood. He never really accepted the gift that he was given. And so Jesus ends that passage with these words: My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. It's in 1835. So what do we do with this? Forgiveness is necessary. It defines our relationship to God. And it frees us. That's the thing. It frees us. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's hard for us to process it that way because all we see is somebody that we think is guilty getting off. But it's what he did for us. And it frees us then to heal ourselves, and it frees us then to heal the relationship with the other person. And we really can't understand who God is or know his character or know his heart unless we get this. That's why it's so important. It is a choice we make. I have heard it said, well, I can't forgive. No, that's not it. What you're really saying is, I won't. And I'm not saying it's not hard. Some of the things that we've been through are just plain awful. There's no other way to describe it. It's evil. It's awful. It shouldn't have happened. And the person who did it deserves punishment. But we've got to leave that to the Lord. He's the one who said, vengeance is mine.
Amen.
We've got to get our hearts right before God and be in a place where we can forgive. And you'll make that choice. I can tell you from personal experience, and I imagine many, if not all of us here, can say the same thing. You will make that choice over and over and over again. A thought will come into your head about what you'd like to do to that person. You'll have to stop, and you'll have to say, no, Lord, I don't feel like it. I want to beat his head in, but I choose to forgive. And you make that choice. And eventually, I can promise you, eventually, God gets to your heart. And you start to meet. You know, I have said that, well, you know, shouldn't there have to be repentance? Sure, it certainly makes it easier. And I'm not 100% convinced that forgiveness is necessary without some level of repentance. But it is certainly not forbidden. We just got to study Jesus and the man that was let down through the roof. Now, I don't know the condition of that man's heart. He may have been repentant. But he didn't ask for repentance. He didn't ask for forgiveness. That wasn't what he was there for. But Jesus saw the real need. And Jesus forgave him of his sins.
Amen.
So it really is up to you to decide to forgive, whether you're asked or not. It makes it a whole lot easier if you are asked. But it is within our power to forgive. Jesus on the cross, as he was being crucified and tortured, said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They certainly didn't ask. But the objective is reconciliation. It's something that we should always be searching for. And that's not always going to be possible. Sometimes the person is just not going to go with you there. And you're not going to be able to do it. Even God said, my spirit won't strive with man forever. If they're not willing, they're not willing. But it's our goal. It's our desire to be reconciled. Now, I've seen this play out in the church, sometimes in some unhealthy ways. Because we'll have a teaching on, well, you know, you can't have anything against somebody, and so you need to go and you need to make it right. And if you have something, you need to go and you need to work it out with the person. That's not necessarily bad advice. In fact, it could be very good advice if you do it right. Sometimes you do need to go to somebody and clear the air and make things right. But a lot of times what we're doing is we have now got a pass and a license to go and bring our grievance to the other person and let them know how we feel. And it's not, reconciliation really is not quite the idea. So we want to, sometimes we do need to do that, but we need to do it from a genuine heart. And really, the passage about leaving your gift at the altar that's often used and being reconciled, that is really when we are the guilty party. It's saying, you messed up, you go make it right. Now, sometimes, maybe we do need to do that. Maybe that's part of the reconciliation. We've been wronged, and then we turned around and we did wrong in return. So now we've got to go and fix it. The situation, or the intent always, is where's your heart in the matter? Are you really trying to make it right? Because that's what we need. We need to be right with each other. And unforgiveness has consequences. It has consequences in our personal life. We've talked about that. It'll mess up your emotional health. It can even mess up your physical health. It'll break your relationships with others. And worse than that, it will interfere with your relationship with God. And nobody wants that. In a church, it's particularly disruptive. Because we're supposed to operate in unity. We're supposed to be loving each other and working together. Division in the church will absolutely destroy it. We've got to be right with each other if we're going to be right with God. And we've got to be right with God if we expect God's blessing to go forward and to do the things that we're called to do. So I pray that all of us, whatever the past has been, I mean, we've been around too long. We've been around 60 years for there not to be stuff. I'm not speaking anything. Nobody's told me anything. But you can see sometimes in the interactions between folks, there's stuff that nobody's talked about, and it's just kind of bubbling down there, and it comes up in the way that we talk to each other. So my plea is for all of us, whatever it is, let's get it right with each other, and let's get it right with God, and let's set this church up for a blessing and growth. Amen. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you forgave us, that you have given us the capacity to forgive, that you have given us the capacity to love. With the love that you gave us, yeah, if it's all up to us, we're in trouble. But it's not all up to us. You give us the power. Your Holy Spirit is within us, drawing us to you, drawing us to each other, teaching us how to love the way that you love. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for this church. I look forward to a bright and wonderful future. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.